Okay, good evening. We're looking at Gemara Psochim, Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis, near the end of the Amud. And this Gemara will be discussing what we learned in the Mishnah at the top of this Amud, which was the end of the previous Amud, about the order of the way the Karban Pesach is actually brought on the Mizbeach, the whole procedure on Erev Pesach. This is a text which we are quite familiar with from the text that we say on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. We have the Seder Karban Pesach that we read. And that is pretty much what this mission is discussing. A lot of it is the same wording. And in the previous part of the Gemara, we started analyzing the various details of the Mishnah, and we will now continue with go through those various details, discussing the various stages of it. One of the points was that the blood of the carbon, once the carbon is shechted, the Yisrael is allowed to shecht it, but once the Yisrael shechts, the Kohen needs to catch the blood and throw the blood on the Mizbeach. Now, with pouring the blood on the Mizbeach, there are different ways how it could be done. Blood could be either thrown or poured. You either stand at a distance and just throw from the cup, or you pour it neatly onto the Mizbeach. And now we're going to be looking at what's the source for the fact that we say over here that by Korban Pesach, it needs to be thrown rather than poured. We're looking at the Gemara about 8 lines from the end. We have a quote from the Mishnah, which is a colon before and after. It says that there were chains of people, human chains, from where the carbon was being shechted until the Mizbeach, and they had the gold cups, the silver cups, one were of gold cups, one were of silver cups, and the blood would be passed in the cups from the animal which is being shechted to the Mizbeach. And once it reaches the coin who's closest to the Mizbeach, that's the wording over here, Kohen HaKarev Eitzel HaMizbeach, what does he do? He takes and throws from the blood onto the Mizbeach. Frag the Gemara, Man Tone Pesach Bezirike. Who tells us, where's the source for it, that Karban Pesach the blood needs to be thrown on the Mizbeach and not poured on the Mizbeach? Let's see straight away the Rashi on this question, which that is 5 lines from the end of the page, Man Tone Pesach Bezirike, Lemeirochag, thrown to a distance, V'loi B'shvicha B'nachas, V'loi B'shvicha B'nachas, and not pouring slowly, Makriv Hakli L'Koysel HaMizbeach, where pouring, you would bring the cup closer to the Mizbeach, to the wall of the Mizbeach, to Ikelem, and the Amar Perek Basra, there is an opinion who holds, in the later Perek, that Pesach B'shvicha, that the Karban Pesach, its blood needs to be poured on the Mizbeach. But Rabbi Shmuel is the one who holds that, he learns it out from the Pasuk, me, v'dam shvazvachecha yishofech, it says in the Pasuk, that the blood should be poured. From there, Rabbi Shmuel learns that the Karban Pesach also should be poured. We have in Gemara, zvachem, v'sech zvachem, v'shamay, ein lecha karban, v'shetzorach matana be'etzva, elochatas bilvad. So we have in Gemara Zvachim this discussion that only a carbon, a chatos, you dip your finger in the blood and then take that blood on the Mizbeach, but otherwise I just throw the blood from the keli. So what is the source that by carbon Pesach we throw the blood and don't pour it? In other words, not following the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, who holds it needs to be poured back into the Gemara. Man Tana Pesach Mizrika, who is one who holds that the blood of Karban Pesach needs to be poured, so it needs to be thrown, sorry, Amar of Chisam Rabbi Yosi Aglili, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Aglili Yoimer. Rabbi Yosi Aglili discusses a pasuk which it says by Bechor. It says, Es domom tizrik al hamizbeach, their blood you should throw into the Mizbeach. And their fats you should sacrifice on the Mizbeach. And the wording, although it's talking about Bechor, it says domam, their blood in plural. Dr. Gemara, domoy loinem, I don't say his blood, ela domam, their blood. Chelboy loinem, I don't say his fats or its fats, ela chelbom, their fats. The So from here we learn that the three of them, not just Bechor, which the Pasuk is talking about, but also Maise and Pesach, which are similar to it, all of them, they need to have the Tizroik, the blood should be thrown. Let's look at the Rashi, second last line. So if it's their blood in the plural, it must be talking about others as well. Limit ala Pesach or Maise Behemo, Shalimotzino Matandomi Matera Elokan, Oksiv Tizrek, Veloksiv Tishofer. So, from the fact that it's written in plural, that tells us that there are other cases where also the blood should be thrown, and we'll take that to the cases of the Karban Pesach and Maise, or an animal which is brought as Maise Behemo. Why do we choose those specific cases of all the various karbanos? Because all other karbanos already tells us how you should deal with the blood. In these two, it does not say how to deal with the blood, by Pesach and Maaser, and therefore from the fact that by Bechor it tells us in the plural, we'll apply that to these other cases of Maaser and Pesach. Back to Gemara. This is all very well, you've explained to me the source that the Karban Pesach, its blood needs to be thrown on the Mizbeach. Where do we take it from? That needs to be towards the Yesod. Like the Gemara, the third line from the bottom, Menolam to Tehun and Yesod. From where do we know that needs to be thrown to the Yesod? Amar Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar answers, Asya Zrika Zrika Me'ola. We learn Gzeira Shava from the Karban Ola. Siv Hocha Es Domom Tizrik Al HaMizbeach. We see the word that the Zrika is compared by both the Bechor and the Bechor, which also includes, because it's plural, includes also the Maaser and the Pesach. And we have the word Zrika also by the Karban Ola. Therefore, we are taking this further. Ma Ola Ta'ona Yesod. Just like the Karban Ola, the blood needs to go onto the Yesod. So therefore also the Karban Pesach needs to be, the blood needs to go into the Yesod. Who says that Karban Oil needs to go into the Yesod? Where do you take it from? Where's your basis coming from? Dragging Gemara, just over the page, the top of Samachayim Mod Aleph, where Oil Guf Menolon, how do you know about the oil itself that needs to be, the blood needs to go into the Yesod? Amakra El Yesod Mizbeach HaOil. The Pasuk, when the Pasuk speaks about the Yesod, the Pasuk mentions that the Yesod of the Mizbeach HaOilah, of the Mizbeach which is for the Oilah. So the Pasuk, although it doesn't say specifically that a Karban Oilah, its blood needs to go onto the Mizbeach, onto the Yesod, but there is a connection made, and there's a reference made when we're talking about the Mizbeach HaOilah, about the Yesod. So we see there is that connection, and therefore we'll apply the requirement of Yesod to Pesach and Maase. Let's look at the Rashi. V'oila gufa, t'gashi shematan doma, b'mokim shiesh tachtam yisei. You need to put the blood in a place lower than it there is the yisei. Limotim mizrach v'dodim, to excluding the two directions of east and south, over there there was no yisei. Chutz mi'amal l'mizrach yitzotav na'am d'orim yitzal b'ayna, d'och yitzlan, echol mizrach ha'ma'achat, d'orim ha'ma'achat. So, how do we know that Karban Oila needs the Yesod? And we say because it says by the Karban Oila, Al Yesod Mizbech Oila. Rashi, where is this Pasuk? What's the context of this Pasuk? Kabe Chatas Nosi Ksin. When there's a Karban, a Karban Chatas that a Nosi needs to bring, there's a Loka Chakoin Midam Chatas Be'etzboi, and Nosi Lakarnas and Mizbech Oila. It's not talking about Karban Oila, it's talking about Karban Chatas, a specific one. And the Kohen should take with his finger from the blood and put on the corners of what? Of the Mizbeach HaOilah. Well, it's Dama Yishbarach al Yisei Mizbeach HaOilah. Havalei Lemichtav al Yisei Mizbeach. Loma Lidachzim Mizbeach HaOilah. El Hochik Oma Lisei Mizbeach Tatsa HaOilah. The fact that in this context, the Pasuk mentions the word Oilah, which is irrelevant over here, it must be telling us that Oilah needs to have Yisei. And that's why the Pasuk is mentioning the word Yisei in that context. To summarize what we've learned over here, we ask the question, where do we get the idea from that the blood of the Korban Pesach needs to be thrown onto the Mizbeah? And the answer is we learn it from Bechor, because by Bechor it says clearly that its blood needs to be thrown on the Mizbeah. How do we apply from Bechor to Pesach? Because the Pesach, when telling us about Bechor, tells it to us in a plural. And therefore, we apply that to Korban Pesach, which doesn't have any specific instructions mentioned about it. We then asked, where do we get the idea from that the blood needs to be thrown on a side of the Mizbeach, which has the Yesod underneath it? And for that, we take another direction and we learn it from the Korban Olah. The word Tzedikah applies by here and by Korban Olah. But the question is, by Korban Olah, it doesn't say they need to put the blood on the towards the Yesod, on a wall that has the Yesod. But because there is another carbon, the carbon Chatas or Nasi, where over there it mentions the Yesod in connection with the Oilah, then we learn that the blood needs of the Oilah needs to go to the Yesod, and therefore from there we learn to come Pesach, then it needs to go to the wall which has the Yesod. We've finished this piece about pouring the blood. We're moving on to the next stage in the story. What happens after they've finished shechting? We'll see later that the Kohenim also said halal. We learn that there needs to be three groups bring the carbon. And therefore, the first group leaves, and the second group comes. The second group leaves, and the third group comes. And then we see about the cleaning, etc., etc. So on Thursday, I mentioned a quote that I heard from my father. I see it here, actually. He was just quoting the Gemara. Yotza, the second of the lines of the second line of the Gemara, Yotza Katushena, the first group left. It's considered the lazy group. Who is the lazy group? The third one. The third group, that they were lazy to be left for the last ones, they're called the lazy ones. Like the Gemara, why you call them lazy? It's not their fault. You cannot do the pasuk in any the carbon in any other way. So the mitzvah we learned on last week. The mitzvah is that we should have three groups. So if it needs to have three groups, why are you deriding the third group as a lazy one? If that's the way it needs to be done. And for the Gemara, my heavenly member, what should they have done? And for the Gemara, afila hochi, nevertheless. They should have moved faster. They should have hurried up. Kidatanya. A very interesting braisa, with another interesting word on that as well. Rebbe Yoimer, there are two types of professions. One is a very pleasant profession, and one is a very unpleasant profession. Being a tanner is a very unpleasant profession. But if you don't have any tanners, we won't have any shoes. We won't have other things you're made out of leather. So we need tanners. A basom is someone who sells perfumes and spices. So that is a much more pleasant environment to work in. So the world cannot exist, apparently, without someone who deals with perfume, a basom, and a bursi, and someone who is a tanner. Ashrei Misha Munose Basom Oiloi Lemisha Munose Borsi. Lucky is one who his profession is with the spices, the fragrances, and woe is to someone who his profession is a tanner. So I'll just pause for a second.
Second. Hello.
Just a second. I'll be right with you. I just had a little disturbance, but that's just sorted. Okay. So, yes, this is a general life's lesson. There are different jobs that need to be done, but we don't need to run for the lower one, or for the more unpleasant one. We could go for something which is more pleasant. And that's just the message the Gemara is saying,
we need to have a basam, we need to have a borsu, we need to have someone who deals with fragrance, we need to have someone who deals with a tannery. Lucky is the one who is with his fragrances, and woe is the one who's dealing with the tannery. And the same thing with the three groups. Yes, we need to have three groups, but if you're for the third group, well, tough luck. It's lucky is the one who is from the first group, and woe is the one for the last group. And then a similar point we have the next one. This one, you need to be careful how you quote it or how you say it over. The world cannot exist without both males and females. Ashrei mi shebonav zchorim, oiloi lemi shebonav nekevos. Lucky is the one who his sons are male. Woe is the one who his sons are female. Now, at face value, this could sound very chauvinistic and very inappropriate, certainly in today's society. But if we look a little bit more carefully at the wording of the Gemara, it doesn't say Ashrei mi sheyesh loy bonim, oiloi lemi sheyesh loy bonis. Lucky is the one who has sons. Woe is the one who has daughters. No, that's not what the Gemara says. Ashrei mi shebonov zuchorim. Lucky is the one who his sons are males. Oiloi lemi shebonov nekevos. Woe is the one who his sons are females. What does that mean? Now, again, we're not talking about new social cultures and all of that. But the interpretation, which I remember hearing years ago about this, is that you could have someone who, you could have a man who is male-like and behaves in a male way and with firm and assertive and whatever role go along with that. And then you could have a man who is not filling that role, and he's, as the Pasuk says, Tosh Choyche Kinekeva, he comes with a weak or soft approach like a female, which that's very valid for a female, but that's not valid for a male. And someone who is, his sons are taking a female approach, that more weak approach, which is not appropriate for a male, so for it, woe is to him. Now, I'm sure you can take a lot from this to today's to discussion in today's society, but I think we'll just stop with that unless anyone wants to add something. Move on? Okay. The next part of the Gemara moves on to Hilchos Shabbos. The Mishnah describes that after the three groups brought their karbonos and they sang the halal and all of that, people left, all the crowds left the Beis HaMikdash, but the Beis HaMikdash needs to be cleaned. With all of that blood and all the guts and all the fat, with everything that was happening over there, the place needed a very good clean. What would they do? They would block off the... There was a stream that actually went through the Azara, and they would block off the exit of the water, and then the water would rise, the water level would rise, and then they would be able to rinse it quite easily. This is straightforward for the weekday. When it comes to Shabbos, there's a concern about scrubbing the floor on Shabbos. We're going to look at that a bit more carefully. Dr. Gemara, k'maaseho b'chol, according to the Mishnah, k'maaseho b'chol kach maaseho b'Shabbos, just like we do in the weekday, we do the same on the Shabbos, besides the washing, which was done on Shabbos, so Chacham were not happy about it. What is that about that was done, but Chacham were not happy about it? Dr. Gemara, sh'loi b'ritzoin man. Who was not happy about it? It was against the desire of Rebbe Elezer. Because Rebbe Elezer holds, well, Sidi Ashi, that this could incur a chi of chatos, a complete outright issur. However, the Irabanan, according to Chachamim Ha'amri Shivu, so they hold that washing the floor would only be a issur midrabanan. And any Issa Drabonon will not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's look at Rashi a little bit clear, get a bit of a clearer idea what's going on over here. Rashi Shalei B'Tzein Rebbe Elezer, the Omer Ba'alma Gabi Mechabed, the Hainu Dugum Yoda Hadocha. Rebbe Elezer says, when it comes to sweeping, which is similar to washing the floor, Rebbe Elezer says, Ikechiyu Chatos. If someone sweeps on Shabbos, he could be obligated to bring a karma chatos. It's a complete outright issur. Hilchos b'migdosh kishikvar nase tzedek gavaya also. Therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, yes, there are allowances to transgress a issur of Shabbos when there's an outright need for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Karbonos. When the Eibishter says bring a Karbon on Shabbos, you're not allowed to shechel on Shabbos. For the Karbon Chatos, the Karbon Tomid, you're allowed to bring on Shabbos. Karbon Musaf, you're allowed to bring on Shabbos. Hashem says you're not allowed to burn things on Shabbos. For the Karbonos of Shabbos, you're allowed to. Once the Karbon has already been brought, and you now need to just clean the floor, over there, the Issa Deraisa, which according to Rabbi Lezer, of cleaning the floor, cannot be waived. And therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer, this remains forbidden. According to Chachamim, washing the floor would only be Issa Deraisa Min Rabbanan. And therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, all Issa Min Rabbanan are waived. And therefore, according to them, would be allowed. What is the source of this conversation about the sweeping the floor? Let's look at back in the Gemara. The line starts with the word b'mikdash. We'll look at the word ma'hi. Ma'hi, what is this about that we're saying this with the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Chacham? Ani v'lo nina b'raisa, echad ha'choylev, someone who milks a cow or for a goat or anything else for that matter. V'hamachabet, and someone who takes milk and makes it into butter. He takes out the thicker part of the milk. V'hamagabein, and he's someone who makes cheese. Gregorus, the size of a Gregorus. Further, hamachabet, someone who sweeps. Hamarabet, it's another type of washing the floor where they would throw water on the floor and somehow clean the floor like that. Not mopping. But I think they were just wet on the floor like that. Any dust should settle and not stay in the air. Further, v'horoi dechalis dvash, someone who takes a honeycomb, takes out of its place, he uproots it. V'shoigig b'shabas chayav chatas, if he did any of these unintentionally on Shabbos, he needs to bring karma chatas. V'yomtiv lokes harboi, if he does any of these on yomtiv, he'll get malchus. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, that's his opinion. Chachamim hold that all of this is only osur min rabbono. We'll see in Rashi what do they argue about? Mechabed, merabed, veroide. Only those three of sweeping or putting the water on the floor, taking off the bread out of the oven, only those chachamim say is min rabbono, and not minatarez it would be allowed. The milking and making the butter and the cheese, that everyone agrees is also minatayda. That's a told of Avalok. Kidamurim Pedika Matsneer, we learn in Gemara Shabbos, for the Belez, Mishim Hochi, Machayim Chayle, Mishim Mepharim, Gam Mishim Boine, Machamid Shaboyne, Bamatsneer, Rabbi, Machamid Parish Hosam, Mishim Hoshwari Gomes. What is the problem of sweeping and putting the water on the floor, that you're going to come to straighten out the floor? What is the problem with straightening out the floor on Shabbos? That if it's done outside, that's preparing the floor for the ground for planting. And therefore, that comes with the category of Chodesh. Roida, what is the problem of taking bread out of the oven on Shabbos? I'm not sure how that answers what that's telling us. So what's relevant to our discussion over here is we want to understand what is the problem with washing the floor on Shabbos. It's a problem, according to Rabbi Lezner, will hold that it's awesome in the Torah. And therefore, even the Beis HaMikdash will be forbidden. However, according to Chacham, will hold that the only Issur is Midr Rabbanon. Sweeping the floor is only a problem Midr Rabbanon. So then in the Beis HaMikdash, Issur Midr Rabbanon are waived. On a practical note, what is the halacha about sweeping on Shabbos? So there are those who hold that sweeping outdoors is forbidden. Sweeping indoors is only forbidden if it's not paved, if the floor is not paved. If the floor is paved, then you're allowed to sweep indoors because you're not going to be straightening any floors. Others say that even when the floor is paved, correct me if I'm wrong, others say that even if the floor is paved, indoors, you're still not allowed to sweep because there's a gzeira when it's paved, because of a case when it will not be paved. Nevertheless, although today that all houses are paved, the common practice for everyone is to pave the houses. You don't have a a mud floor inside the house, so this halacha doesn't apply, and we are allowed to sweep indoors in a house which has a normal floor. That's as far as I remember from the Altar Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, but I haven't checked it recently, so in case someone wants to add something to that, please do. So far we've said that the one who opposed them washing the floor on Shabbos was Rebbe Lezer, and Chacham will allow it. Rebbe Ashi is going to learn it differently. Rebbe Ashi Omer, Afilo Teima Shalibir Tzin Chachamim V'Rebbe Nosson Hi. The Tani Rebbe Nosson Oimer, Shvus Tzricho Hitiro, Shvus She'eino Tzricho Lo Hitiro. Rebbe Nosson takes the following approach. So yes, any Issa the Rabbanon is waived in the Beis HaMikdash. But that's not a blanket heter for any random Issa the Rabbanon. Only if it's an Issa the Rabbanon that is necessary, then you could waive it. But if it's not necessary, certainly not necessary for now, then you do not waive that Issur, even though it's only Issur Drabbanon. Let's look at Rashi to explain exactly what Rashi is saying. Rashi, Omar lo'olam Drabbanon da'amri ba'alma nami shvusu masidin gribnos nama shvusu in a tzricha lo'yitzidu b'migdosh, that if it's unnecessary, then we're not going to allow it. And therefore over here, apparently he doesn't see that as necessary, certainly not necessary for bringing the carbon. Why is it not necessary? Just to keep the place clean. Perhaps there are other ways of cleaning it, I'm not sure. Okay. Should we go on or should we stop here? Should we continue or should we pause?